We're continuing the multitude of scriptures. So we're moving to the New Testament now. Still listen for the same word, okay? Actually, we've moved from Hebrew to Greek, so it's not quite the same word, but it's close. In Matthew, there's a good story which you've heard before. And at the end of the story, it says, "But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out and meet him." And then in Luke, as is one of many stories like this in Luke, Jesus goes to a man who's possessed by a demon. And the scripture says, "For many times the demon had seized him, he was kept underground and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds." So Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. And then in the first chapter of John, when they're just discovering who Jesus is, Philip finds Nathanael, the skeptic, and says to him, "We have found him whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael looks at him and puts his over his glasses and he says, "Can anything come out of Nazareth that's good?" And in one of my favorite stories of the Bible about Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, Jesus has arrived and found his friend dead. And the scripture says, Jesus again was greatly disturbed and he came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." But Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, it's been 3 days. There will be a stench." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And Jesus looked upward as they took the stone away, and he said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the crowd standing here so that they may believe." And Jesus, when he had said this, stood in front of the grave, and he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" So, you get the point. If you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see this little drawing. Many of you have probably seen it. It was done in the 1970s by Keith Haring to celebrate Coming Out Day, which is in October. And when back in the days when Harvey Milk used to tell everybody to come out, come out. But when I see that little thing, it's a little man, woman, I'm not really sure who it is, dancing merrily as he comes out of the closet. And it speaks worlds about the idea of coming out for gay and lesbian folks. But it's really so much more than that. And that's what I want to talk to you about this week. This is Pride Week in San Francisco, as you've probably gotten used to, all the rainbow flags that appear everywhere this week and people all over the streets. Next week, next Sunday, there'll be more than 1 million people down on Market Street. Not that many in here, I promise you. Here to celebrate Pride and to celebrate the coming out of gay and lesbian people and the pride they feel about that. People who have come out of hiding and have come dancing out of the closet like Keith Haring's little man. But you know, that fellow terrifies me. He is very frightening. It's not so much the coming out that frightens me. It's not the dancing. Or it's not any of that that really gets me scared. What scares me is that open closet door. And if you look behind the man, it is very dark in there. What is lurking in the dark of that closet behind the little man, that foolish little fellow standing there holding the door wide open with that darkness behind him? He scares me. And it should scare you too. Whether you're LGBT or not, we all have a dark closet somewhere back here. And we don't leave the doors open. Shut those doors and don't let those demons out. We all have dark closets where we keep things secretly hidden. especially Presbyterians. One of the reasons I'm so scared by this was because I'm so thoroughly Presbyterian. Presbyterians are good at slamming that door shut, putting bunches of bolts on it, and making sure it does not open. We insist that what is sealed up behind closet doors remains hidden away, keeps quiet, stays in the dark, and is securely fastened from public view, especially from any view inside the church. The coming out process we celebrate this week with LGBT folks opens that door, and it leaves it open. But have you considered opening your closet door? Yikes. Who knows what might creep out of that closet, out of that darkness, into public light, into our blessed and holy church. You know, it's not really homosexuality that's behind that door. It is for some folks, of course, but that only makes this opening, coming out thing for gay people. But there are a lot of things in our closets. Certainly one of them is what my parents called the bigger issue, S-E-X. They never said the word, they just said, we got to talk about S-E-X. And I remember as a kid thinking, what does that mean? I got to translate it into what a real word is. That's how they always talked about S-E-X, because they wanted to keep that stuff closed up in the closet behind locked bedroom doors, only within a legal marriage, and better yet, only under the covers of darkness, and only when absolutely necessary. But that's not the only thing we have hidden in our closets. We have so many secrets, if you're like me, and we don't want others to know about those secrets. They are buried in our closets, and they rarely see the light of day. They are inside eating away at us, quietly and insidiously. It could be anger issues that you're trying to keep bottled up. It could be an alcohol problem you don't want anybody to know about. It might be an unresolved feud with a friend that hasn't been worked out. It might be money problems that you definitely don't want people to know. Or it might even be that pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream I eat all by myself when I'm depressed. There are so many things that we don't want to see the light of day. They are our own private burden, and they're no one else's business. We hide them in the dark closet, and we bolt the door, and we keep it shut. We all have these little dark rooms inside our souls, shut off from the world. And it is most important for us to keep God out of there. In those dark closets, bad things happen. And we don't want some dancing fool coming along and opening the door and holding it open. All of us, gay or straight, and all of us Presbyterians, have one of those closets. Some people have considerably larger closets. Others have darker closets, but all of us have that space deep inside of us that is closed to others. It's closed to friends. It's closed to our spouses or our partners. And it's especially closed to the church. We try to close that space off from God. So Keith Haring's cheery little dancing man opening that closet door quite literally scares the hell out of me. When Maggie asked me to preach this week, I realized it was Pride Week, and I thought, well, I've been wanting to preach this sermon about coming out, but what is coming out and gay rights and all that got to do with the Bible? It seems like it doesn't have much connection. And most conservative Christians would say, keep those two far apart. They have absolutely no idea. It's stacked opposites. We don't have anything to do about it. But as any good Presbyterian, when I want to find out what something the Bible has to say about something, I go open the Bible and read it. You should try it sometimes. So I did what any good Presbyterian would do. I got out my concordance, and now it's on the computer. It's so much easier. So I sat down at the computer and I typed in the words, C-O-M-E-O-U-T, for the Bible to search for. It reminded me of those times as a teenager when I had pulled out the book and looked up P-E-N-I-S or B-R-E-A-S-T. I'll let you spell those a minute. But both are there, by the way. But what I was so thoroughly surprised about when I typed in coming out was my computer just went crazy. It just started spewing out all the times come out is used in the Bible. I was shocked. And so I did a little research. There, it's used over 100 times in our Bible. It's just amazing. And I looked up the Greek and Hebrew words. They're two really good Greek and Hebrew concepts, not just words. In Hebrew, it's called yatsah, and in Greek, it's exerkomai. They're two words used very frequently in the Bible, and they mean, obviously, to come out. They're used all over the Bible. Sometimes they're simple words that mean to come out of one room and go to another room, but most of the time, they have some real significance. And I want to take a few minutes today to point out some of them that Roseanne and I read to you. In the Old Testament, the most frequent use of yatsah is to describe the Israelites' experience of leaving oppression in Egypt. In fact, the phrase is almost a chorus in several places in the Bible. It is, it's part of a song many, many times. Remember when you came out of Egypt, over and over again. What an appropriate image for us. May God assist us in helping us come out just like the Israelites from slavery and oppression of our own Egypts. God wants us to come out and will help us in any way possible. In a couple of other very familiar passages, the verb yatsah is used to describe messianic figures. In Numbers, we find that passage which is immortalized by Mendelssohn. Many of you have heard our choir sing it. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And in Isaiah, the opening verse in chapter 11 that we see every Christmas, you probably never noticed it before, but every Advent season we say that a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. Wow. A saving star will give us new hope as life comes out of Israel. And a shoot, a new life full of promise will come out of the stump. God obviously thinks that coming out is a good thing. And all of you remember that story I think I learned in the third grade because it was so much fun. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in that fiery furnace and they didn't burn up. I can't quite remember the song or I'd sing it for you. And my Sunday school teacher didn't really tell me what happened at the end of the story, but you should know. What did they do at the end of the fiery furnace? They came out of the fiery furnace. And then I couldn't stop laughing reading the long passage Rose had read to us about Aaron in the inner temple of the tabernacle. It says, thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered, in a time of favor I've answered you and salvation shall help you. Is that the one? No. You shall take the robe of ephod of all blue. It shall have an opening in the head in the middle of it with a woman with woven binding around the bottom. And on its lower hem you shall have pomegranates. Puffballs of blue and bells of gold and red around the lower hem. And Aaron should wear it when he ministers to people. And the sound of the bells shall be heard when he goes to the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out to the people. So the priest has to wear this blue dress when he comes out. If that's not a gay queen's frock, I don't know what is. So, a blue dress with frilly bonbons around the bottom and bells. We're all called to yatsah, to come out. I don't know about the frilly blue dress, but God calls us out of our closets and out of the darkness. And then, if you think that's just the Old Testament concept, the Christian scriptures are full of it too. In the Greek, the word exerchomai is used all over the place. Its most frequent use, as I said, is in exorcising demons. Jesus commands unclean spirits over and over again to come out of the person to make them clean. And again, that's not such a bad idea for us. Jesus commands our demons to come out of those dark, hidden places and to clean into the clean, open places of light. And then there are those virgins who've been waiting on the bridegroom to come home all night long, and he never came until early morning. And when he does arrive, they are commanded, come out and greet him. And in John, that skeptic Nathanael asked the disciples, can anything come out of Nazareth? So even Jesus came out. And finally, in one of the most tragic and poignant moments in the New Testament, Jesus faces the loss of his dear friend Lazarus, and he goes up to the dark, sealed cave full of the smell of death where his friend is buried. And despite everyone warning him, don't open that grave, it'll smell bad, it's been 3 days, with all the authority he can muster, through tears, Jesus commands, Lazarus, come out. And he does. I know this might seem a little frivolous. You might think the word yatsah and the word exerchomai, as used in the Bible, are totally different than anything we're talking about in Gay Pride Week. But I don't think so. God really does want us to come out, to open up that dark closet. He reminds us that it's a good thing when these things are brought out into the light. All of those coming out stories in the Bible are not insignificant. God does not want us to hide things in dark places behind closet doors. God wants us to come out of Egyptian bondage. We self-conscious, conservative, stuck-up private Presbyterians are called. We're called to open up our closet doors to the rest of the world. And then when we do, we have to dance in celebration, like Herring's little figure in the coming out drawing. And then we are to leave that closet door wide open. Now, if I've got you thinking about what's in your dark closet, you probably are not really excited about this. Of course, we should keep a little privacy. I don't want everybody's big secrets blared all over the sanctuary. We're going to sing Just As I Am in a few minutes, which is the Billy Graham song where everybody comes forward and offers themselves to Christ. I don't want you to come up and tell me your dark secrets at that point, please. But notice the dancing guy in the drawing still has one hand firmly inside that closet. Obviously, we don't go around spilling all of our secrets to everyone we know. But with discretion, we can open that closet door, especially in the church. This place should be a place where we don't come and put on our happy face. This isn't a place to just be a fake, closed person. This is a place where we care about each other, where the embarrassing and dark things in our life can see the light of day, and people are going to accept us and love us despite that. I know for years, as a teenager and as a person in my 20s and 30s, attended my Southern Presbyterian church where everybody kept things closed up inside. And when I sat on the fourth pew on the right side, I sat with my family, and an offer would bring my girlfriend, who I sat there with my arm around, pretending to be something I was not, keeping that closet door tightly closed and not telling anybody who I really wanted to be sitting with. And I'll tell you one thing. it is a world of difference when I can come here to this church and sit right there on the fourth pew behind you guys with my arm around my husband, and everybody loves me for it. It is a good thing to come out and to share who you really are with people. Jesus comes to us when we are like Lazarus, cold and dark and dead in our closet-like tombs of our hidden lives. And Jesus stands in front of us and he says, "Come out." He doesn't just say it, he commands us over and over again, "Come out, come out," all through the Bible. He stands in front of our tombs and we're supposed to be dancing and coming out. Come out into the light. I know our burial clothes can be smelly, but still we come out. Each and every one of us can come out in some way. We all must open our closets to God and to each other and leave the darkness. And with God by our sides, we come out wherever we are, just as I am, just as we all are, come out.